Okay, saints, while we're eating, we fellowship. Anyone wants a fellowship? Go ahead. But we have to have one stop eating while others eating. So one suffer for all. But that's the only way to preserve the time. Otherwise, we'll be just eating. Any fellowship?
My name is Juan Pablo.
Good.
I'm from Mexico City right now. When I finish college, I get a job in government. So I worked by 2 years. At that time, the Lord really touched me to have more personal relationship with Him because of my environment. We were a group there in a new city. The government just opened a new office. I'm a lawyer, so a group of young lawyers from all over Mexico came to this area. So at that time, in that city, there wasn't.
So really?
Was, yes.
San Luis Potosí?
No. León, Guanajuato.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah. The closest church was like 3.5 hours driving. So, because I started working, I received a very good wage from the government. So for me, that was like a risk just to pull down my faith, right? So one time I just prayed to the Lord, Lord, I don't want to follow the current of the age, right? Before I jumped one that just finished college and start a work, there are so many things that supposedly you need to pursue, right? To have a stability in the job, have a new house, have a new car, getting married, some those things, right? So, because I really opened my heart to the Lord and start to have more deeper fellowship with Him, at the end of the year, the Lord told me to just quit my job and go to the Punta training.
Wow.
So I prayed. My mother just not allow me to do that. But at the end, I prayed and I decided to go to the Punta training. So for me, it was a very real blessing. I attended the training for 2 years. I was thinking at the end to come back to my job because my boss that has a very high position in the government told me, you just have the doors open. So at the end of the last semester of the training, I started to pray, just thinking I need to come back to my last job, right? But the Lord told me again to serve Him full time. And I consecrate myself to serve Him. Mm-hmm. So since that, almost 18 years, I'm serving full time.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord I start serving on campus, in a campus team. The first one that we have in Mexico at that time. We went to Austin for 6 months, Austin, Texas. Right away, the Lord put me in my heart for me to get married. I was at that time 30 years old. So there in the team, I met a beautiful sister.
Wow.
Wow.
Who's that?
She's very now on my right. I start to have fellowship with the brothers, to pray a lot, seeking the Lord. So the Lord was gracious to me to marry my wife, Jasmine. We both also went to the full day training. So right now we are serving full time by the Lord's mercy. So we are very happy to be here with you all. Thanks. Just pursuing the Lord, right? In the middle of what the Lord arranged for us. And the job we have, or in our case, serving the Lord full time, we experience that always we need to come to the Lord for His supplies.
Amen.
In a personal way, right? But also the church meetings keep us in this supply of the Lord. So in one way we have this personal relationship with the Lord, and also the church meetings keep us from just not turn away and get lost in this very difficult world and sometimes very evil world. The world don't have mercy on people, especially the young people. I have the feeling that at this point the world is becoming very a not good place to live. More and more, little by little. So we need to turn to the Lord and pray, Lord, what about? What is the way we need to live at the end of this age? And praise the Lord that we have the most secure world for the world.
Most what?
Secure world, like in First Peter. So the world shine has the capacity, the world has the capacity to give light to man. Including this light that we receive from the Word of God. Sometimes give us direction. And that needs to be confirmed to the fellowship in the body.
Amen.
So praise the Lord that we are in the church. And we are in the Lord's hands.
Amen.
Just to live a normal life, human life, that is being filled with the Lord, to express Him, to enjoy Him, and to express Him. That's the meaning, really, that's the meaning of human life. We are vessels, not to contain many things that the world offers, but to contain God.
Amen. Very good.
So currently we have two kids. My oldest is 15 years old. His name is Elias. We have a daughter, 11 years old. How are you?
I just want to add that my story is similar. I started medicine and I went to full-time training and get to this team sent to Austin. So my whole expectation of professional development changed, obviously. And we just started serving the Lord full-time on campus together. Single and then married. And then the family starts to grow. So as a sister, my side, sometimes we just be like just wives and moms, you know, and full time. But after many, many years, the Lord allowed me and guide us for me to come back to study. So I came back to the university after many years with kids. So I don't know how we did it, but I came back to study a specialty, and that changed my capacity a lot, because I never think I was going to come back to work. So now I'm working. I'm serving because I'm his wife, but I'm working. And I just want to share to the sisters, maybe to encourage them, that our capacity, our human capacity, is always there. And the Lord will use it at the moment he needs and the way he needs. I always dreamed I was going to become a pediatrician, endocrinologist, pediatrician, a super specialist. No, because I went to the training. And the career of a medical doctor, you have to go straight many, many, many years. But the Lord provided for me another capacity. I became an acupuncturist in Mexico. I never heard that word in my life before. But it has been very useful for me, for the saints, and also is a good provision, like in money. That I can be free. I'm not in a hospital. I'm not working for anybody. I have my little office. So I can be here in Australia. So I'm very happy. I just want to share this because I never thought the Lord will use my career again. And through this service, through this job, I can serve the saints too. Take care of the young people.
During the COVID, how many did you take care of patients of the saints?
Of the saints? Well, many. Maybe saints and maybe 300 people by distance. So I don't know if this is like useful for you, but sometimes when we become a mother and stay home forever, it seems like everything is gone. But no, the Lord knows. Yeah. And he will use whatever he needs. That's what I'm doing now.
Mm-hmm. How long was the period between finishing your university and back
then? 15 years.
Wow. How many years? How many years?
15.
From the time you graduated from university till what?
Till I entered to the specialty.
Oh.
And then during the COVID pandemic, I made a master's degree. So I love studying. I can all know the time.
You have to speak louder.
So in terms of preaching on the campus, you mentioned that we're looking for sons of peace specifically on the campus. But now we are now serving ones of high school children and young people. So these are our own church kids. So my question is, how do you be interested in high schoolers, be interested in what they're interested in order to have an open to minister something of the truth to them? I find myself, I would like to speak truth to them, but I don't find myself, I can't get myself interested in what they're interested in. And that often will become like a barrier to minister something.
I'm not so sure you need to be interested in what they're interested in. They're interested in TikTok. You don't need to be interested in TikTok. You may know the terms and you may know what it does, but not getting into it. So some of them like to play rugby, and they are very much interested in the statistics of the top rugby players. But there's nothing. You don't need to be in that. You need to be in God, in the truth, so that you can attract them with God and with the truth. You know, one thing Brother Lee said, don't use any gimmick to gain people, except food. Because food is a necessity, so it's not a gimmick. Music is a gimmick. Skit, you know, it's a gimmick. Everything is a gimmick, except food. So you eat together right now, and you talk Christ. So everybody likes to eat, so just eat together and talk Christ. But when you're playing rugby, you cannot talk Christ. Let's say you're interested in rugby, you play rugby with them, you cannot talk Christ. Even today we play badminton, we cannot talk Christ. Only when you stop playing, then you can talk Christ. But eating, you can always talk Christ. So you don't have to have the idea that you need to do all these things that young people do. When I met Brother Lee, I was 15, he was 55. He did not do what I did, but his speaking was good enough to attract me to keep coming. Sometimes the young people serving ones do too much activities with the young people. That becomes a distraction. There was one brother, he bought a pool table and put it in his house. So the students on the campus would come to his house. Yeah, pool, play pool. And we told him, please don't do that. You can use it for your own children, but don't invite the students. But he didn't listen. He felt that was a good attraction. Then eventually some brothers became so good in playing pool, and that's not good at all with the Lord. So left the recovery and played pool. So he did not listen. Now he himself eventually left the recovery. So maybe that's why he didn't listen. So we should not use any gimmick.
Something that we have been experienced last semester, this one, me and my wife open our home to have a meeting for the university students, because we live somehow close to the main campus. So there is a team that's preaching the gospel. So they have good amount of university contacts. So the full-timers bring the students, the university students, to go home. We have been enjoying the word and the ministry. We read a small portion of a book called 12 Baskets Free of Luxury. There is some now. Yeah, some histories, but with a Christian message, right? So we realize, because we read it, and then we give the opportunity to everyone to share. We just were amazed that the content of our university students is very rich. The full-timers have been doing a very good job. We just noticed, because these students just share about the word with their experiences. And sometimes there are some high schoolers with not all of them. So we saw that for high schoolers, it's more impact to hear a college student speak about the world, enjoyment, than even us, right? So when you have a good amount of university students that are enjoying the world because we contact of the world, this is going to help to shepherd the high schoolers. Because they are the high schoolers, you are seeing the college students asking about your experience to enter the university. So we have been seeing that for me.
I've been shepherding two siblings. The sister is 15, the brother is 22. The sister cannot speak English too well. So the brother is a translator. We never talk about anything else except the Lord, the Bible, the experiences of the Lord. Never. Never. We did not talk about anything. No sports, no nothing. Then, you know, your Franco Morona from the district asked me to shepherd the two children. The daughter is what, 16? And the son is what, 14?
17 and 15.
17 and 15. Okay, so they got added. And they got added. We talked about nothing else except truth, the word. Then there were two other younger sisters, one is 16, one is 18, wanted to join us, but they never were stable in joining, so there were four. So the concept that we need to do what they do as young people in order to shepherd them, I don't think is correct. I'm not so sure, but I don't think it's correct. I've never. The only thing, you know, we go on a camp retreat, so you may have volleyball in the afternoon and some of these activities, but not too heavy. It's just 1 or 2 hours a day. I join them to play, but regular shepherding, there's no need for using anything else. Just the word. I met Brother Lee, I only heard the word. Now I'm 75, older than Brother Lee at that time. And I also, when I shepherd the young people, only the word. So nothing else. Even with young working saints, it's the same. We shepherd the FTT graduates, the alumni, and we shepherd full-time trainees. I used to have a house next to the training center. So I told the trainees, we have bottomless coffee and ice cream. Just come over for fellowship. So they come. They came. And we never had anything. So only food was the only gimmick. But Brother Lee said that's the only thing we can use. So nothing else. Nothing else. We don't have any music, popular songs for the young people. Never. Just the word of God. With food. Fellowship over the food. So I sometimes take them out to eat lunch, young people, and then we fellowship. So always it's just fellowship with food. That's all we do.
Is there a difference between being interested in the person and being interested in the event? I have a 11-year-old son, and he's interested in many things that I'm not really interested in. But I am interested in. So even though I don't really get involved with things he's interested in, I need to make sure he knows that I'm interested in him.
With a father or parents, you have a different relationship with the young people. He was talking about serving ones. We are serving ones. We are not their parents. We are not their siblings. So we are not responsible for anything else. But you are responsible for the 11-year-old. I have a son. He's 40. And he is interested in invention. What's that called? The computer graphic, CGI. He is interested in many things. So he's my son. So I'm with him on whatever he's doing. I'll support him, whatever he's doing. But I don't do that with these young ones that I'm talking about. In the church, we only are related by life, by the Spirit. Nothing else, the Word. Now, so you have to take care of your son.
Oh, I do.
Right? Yeah. And we are not responsible to take care of him. But we are responsible to fellowship with them and share Christ with them.
I've got a question. I don't know if it's young people fellowship specific, but it's more of a general pondering. So
this is a young working saints fellowship. So yeah. Young people is tomorrow night.
Huh?
Young people's fellowship is tomorrow night, but he jumped the gun. How to shepherd young people is tomorrow night.
Okay.
But tonight you are free to share anything.
This is not young people's fellowship.
No.
Young working saints.
Young Working Saints Fellowship.
It's a more, it's a generalization. I've been, when I was a younger person, one of the young people's conferences, and a brother shared a statement. And this statement stayed with me. It has stayed with me. And he said, if you can be a God man with your family or in your family life, you can be a God man anywhere. So that stayed with me. And it has stayed with me. But for me, I find it easier to enjoy the Lord, exercise my spirit with the saints. But when it comes to my family, whether it's my immediate family or just people who know me the most, I don't find it easy. I have the realization of the truth to some extent, but the living out of that sort of living, it doesn't. I can't do it. I can't do it, or it's not there. So I find it hard, or I find it very hypocritical in my living, or I find a discrepancy that how come I can exercise my spirit with the saints, or if I had to overcome something, it's easier to turn to the Lord. But when it comes to my family, you know, a lot of us have family in the church life, and a lot of things overlap, family life, church life. How do I bring the Lord in my family life? And then that's my burden with the young people as well. Like, how do I shepherd them? So a lot of us, and this is what I see around as well, they may be active in the church life, but when it comes to their relationship with their parents or someone in the family, it's not there. I'm not judging. I'm just saying, and then how do I shepherd them to have, you know, to enjoy the Lord properly in their family life? So I need help first, and then to be able to help others this matter. How to be a God man in the family. So
is to be yourself in God. Has nothing to do with anyone, any way, any situation, but in all ways, or people, or situation, you are you. You're God man. Okay, so what does that mean? In the morning, you get up like Christ when it was still dark. It's not easy in Brisbane, but because it's just already it's bright at 5. But anyway, traditionally, is when it's early before anything else. You go to see the Lord privately, alone. Let's start the day of a God-man. And then you continue to remain with him and his word at home with your relatives, family, at work with your colleagues. It's the same. What the brother said is, you cannot just be a God-man in the meetings. The other day, we were in Adelaide with the young ones. They call 4 excellent songs. I've never seen them before. They're from somewhere. Excellent. So they were singing. The singing was excellent. The problem is, right after the meeting, then they were talking nonsense. Whatever young people talk about. Instead of talking about the content of the songs that were so good, or the content of the fellowship, of the meeting. So this is where the problem is. We sing songs, we read the word, we speak, but then after the meeting is over, then everyone is not with the Lord anymore. That's where the problem is. So when you can live Christ in all situations of your life, whatever it may be. If you're a mother, you're with the children. But doesn't mean that when you're with the children, You have to keep talking about the Lord. It's just a living. Now, certainly there should be a talking, because according to Deuteronomy chapter 6, Moses told the people to talk about the Lord with the children, but not necessarily every second, but you just have to live Christ. Then you go to work, you live Christ. You drive, you live Christ. You shop, you live Christ. You eat, you live Christ. Then eventually you are a real person, real God-man, not a meeting person. We need to come to meeting. Number one, we have to exhibit Christ. Number two, we have to fellowship to build up one another. Okay, but at home is what that brother is saying. Not just at home, also at work, also on the road driving, also everything that we do. As a human being, we live 24 hours a day. As a God-man, we also live 24 hours a day. So when you say, oh, it's not easy to live the God-man life or whatever life you're talking about at home with those in your family, maybe you have a concept of what that means.
So is it a matter of my concept then?
Or? Yeah. It's simple. Okay, you go to work, you breathe, you eat your food in the morning, you get dressed, and then you go to work and you breathe. Busy or not busy, you are just a human being. But now we are God-men. So we eat Christ and also eat breakfast. We drink Christ and also drink water. And we breathe Christ and also breathe air. And then we live. So when we live, Christ will live out. Christ is a shepherd. So he will shepherd the people around. Christ is a teacher of the truth, so you will teach the truth. Christ is a preacher, so you will preach. Christ is Christ, so he will do what he has been doing. You watch him read the Gospels. What did he do? He did this, he did that, and he will do the same thing in you when you're living him. So it is not you trying to do something that is called God-man living or whatever, Christian life. It is Christ living in you, expressing himself in all the situation that you live in. You are a wife, then he lives as a wife. You are a mother, he lives as a mother. You are a daughter, he lives as a daughter. You are a working one, he lives as a working one. You are a boss, he lives as a boss. You are higher person under the boss, then you are like that. You drive, then he drives. So eventually, we all can live Christ in all situations. You're in jail because of the gospel's sake, you can live Christ. You're getting crucified, you can live Christ. You're being stoned, you can live Christ. So eventually, every one of us can live Christ in all situations. There is no hard situation for Christ. What about him? Was it hard? Was it easy for him? Even his brothers did not believe him, right? You remember John chapter 7? It says even his brothers did not believe him. So his relatives don't believe him. His townsmen don't believe him. The people in Nazareth. And then his people that he created, that he have chosen, don't believe him and crucify him. That's Christ. And he is in us. He wants to repeat the same life. So it has nothing to do with environment, people. It has everything to do with how we feel with him. Are we presently fellowshipping with him, abiding in him, present? That means moment by moment. It's wonderful. We are not restricted by environment. You cannot say, oh, I am in Australia, it's hard to live Christ, or I'm in China, it's hard to live Christ. No, no such thing. Wherever you are, Christ is there living. Amen. Are you happy?
Changing concept.
Huh? Yeah.
We need a changing
concept. Yeah, yeah. What does it mean, that sentence that brother said that you got caught? What does that mean? It means you can live Christ everywhere, and when you do, then you're right.
So it doesn't matter the person's situation.
Yeah.
As long as we're living the Lord.
You're living the Lord. Sometimes you live the Lord, you can speak about the Lord. Sometimes you cannot speak the Lord. I mean, the situation does not allow you to speak the Lord, or the Lord does not lead you to speak the Lord. It's fine. But must live Christ. Live in the fellowship with Him. You have any comment on this?
To live this kind of life, key is to exercise our spirit. Mm. So, one of the points of the last detail concerning exercising ourselves to godliness, that means we need to exercise our spirit. Something that helps is that we need to put our mind in the spirit.
Amen.
So
actually, that's tonight's message.
Yeah. That's why I just remind myself that we need to live a life of being exercised always, not only in the meetings, but also in our family life, in our work. Wherever we are, the Christian life is to live an exercise life. Mm. We need to exercise our spirit.
Mm.
So, when we touch about our spirit, then this life comes out. The life of the godly. So, we can endure any situation. Of course, we need to learn, right? To learn how to exercise our spirit. Something that also helps is to be in the Word daily, constantly. The more we can, we need to come to the Word, pray, read and study the ministry. So little by little, that is going to supply to live this kind of life.
Amen.
Because in experience, many times I don't know how to do it. Right? I heard it since I was young. Exercise your spirit. You need to live this kind of life. Actually, if you are a Christian, you need to live in a certain way.
Right.
So many times, sometimes you may get discouraged. You go to a conference, then you are encouraged again. So something that is very helping me is to enter the Word and into the ministry, because that give you the explanation of many experiences you have been passing through, right? And if you have the understanding what is happening in that situation, so you are just come and enjoying the Lord, and you can endure that situation, no matter how hard it is.
Amen.
not interested in that at all, it's hard. If it's hard, does that imply that we are using our own effort and that's why it's hard? If it's in practice, it should be easy, right? Technically speaking, I know in practice it doesn't always work out that way. But if we are in Christ and Christ is doing it, then it should be easy, right? For it does rest in Christ. If we're trying with our own effort, isn't that what makes it hard? Because we are trying.
You know, the tree of knowledge is of good and evil. So when you try to be good, then it's hard. When you try not to be evil, it's also hard. So the tree of life is hard. You cannot do what it says. The tree of not life, did I say? The tree of knowledge is hard. The tree of life is easy. You just live. You eat the tree of life, and the life is God living in you. He can do anything he wants, but he never would do evil. Everything he does would be good, but it's not you who's doing good. It's him doing good, but you are just eating him. So with man, it's impossible to be good. With God, all things are possible. So you just, like he said, the word is for eating. We too many times take the word as instruction. Instruction then becomes good and evil. No doubt there's instruction, but then the type of instruction is to bring us into life, not bring us into good and evil. But most of us are living by good and evil. You think about that. What job should you take? It's always good and evil. What car should you buy? It's good and evil. This is a good car. That's a bad car. This one uses very little gasoline, and this one uses a lot. So we buy based on what's good, what's bad. And we speak to people based on what's good, what's bad in our concept. So if I am saying something bad to you and you get upset with me, then I better be careful, say something nice to you, even you are bad, so that I don't offend you. It's all good and evil. But this life is different. Life just lives. That's why you are trying to have a certain Christian life at home. That's your idea of a Christian life. Somebody just told me a few weeks ago that she is at an age with the children. So some people, some other sisters told her, this is your age. You have to take care of your children. Don't worry about the things in the church, serving in the church. I said, hey, she asked me about that. I said, well, that's just somebody's philosophy. It's not life. The Bible never say that. Did that Bible say that? We are responsible to take care of our responsibility, whether it be children or husband, wife, or work, or all that. Right? But it never said, at a certain age, you should not be worrying about so much serving the Lord, preaching the gospel, just take care of your children. The Bible never said that. The ministry never said that. But some people develop concepts. That's their philosophy. Then some say, well, after you graduate from FTT, it's better to get a job so you have some human experiences and you can serve better. Who said that? Which verse? Which book from Brother Neo Lee? People make up concepts. Those are all good knowledge of good and evil. Good people don't do this. But life is simple. You just live. Should you get a job after you graduate from FTT? Talk to the Lord about that. If he say, go be a billionaire. Okay, go be a billionaire. No problem. Well, that's one brother who went to be a billionaire under fellowship, led by the Lord. Oh, that's good. Praise the Lord for him. But many people try to be, oh, the recovery needs money, so I need to go do a business so to make money for the recovery. Ridiculous. Who told you to go make money? Maybe the Lord would want you to be completely poor for the rest of your life. It's up to the Lord, not up to your idea of what things should be. This is our problem. So after we got saved, we come into recovery, then we have all sorts of new philosophy of how to live. More new knowledge of good and evil. No, don't do that. Just live Christ. Fellowship with him. Eat him. Live him. Remain in fellowship with him. That's all. Simple. So we don't need to. If the Lord tells you, learn to play rugby to be with the young people, it's fine. You know, it's the Lord. So nobody can say no. But don't ever have an idea that you need to learn to play rugby with the young people. You don't need to. You just need to enjoy Christ and live Christ. That's all you need to do. Our responsibility.
If you are trying to shepherd a dormant saint or a backslider saint, or try to recover them, is it also possible to have the content of the conversation only on truth in the Word?
You may have an entry, Brother Lee said, in the preaching of the gospel, you may have a philosophical entry. Okay, what that means is you may have some good reasons and talking about this and that, but really what helps people is not those philosophies, it's Christ. Okay, so let's say a brother who stopped meeting, you say, brother, what happened? I haven't seen you for 3 months, 3 years. And he may say, well, you know, there was a sister in a conference with Brother Lee 1981 in Taipei. It was about the history of the Lost Recovery, that conference. And that sister said she was offended by an elder and stopped meeting for 20 years. And during those 20 years, nobody visited her. Okay, then somehow the Lord was merciful and brought her back. So you may talk to a person who stopped meeting, you know. You may say, what happened to you? And he may talk about, I got offended by one of the brothers, brother so-and-so. And then what do? You don't want to criticize the brother, but you may listen to what he is talking about. So there may be different ways that you can do, but eventually it is the truth that will bring him back. Actually, we had a sister stop meeting, a wife, stop meeting for 8 years. And we were praying for her for years. And we always pray, bring her back to the church life, bring her back to the church life. 3 years ago, I was praying with her husband. I realized, wow, wait a minute. It's not that she needs to come back to the church life. It's that she needs to come back to the Lord. She stopped loving the Lord. So she stopped coming to meeting. So there are many, many problems. We have to always bring it back to the Lord, bring it back to the Lord, bring it back to the Lord. It's the Lord that she does not love anymore. She loves money. She wants to go work. She works on Lord's Day. Does anyone have to work on Lord's Day? It's up to you. There's a company called Chick-fil-A in U.S., they refuse to open the door on Sunday. Then when people try to buy the franchise, they say, okay, you cannot open on Sunday. Then they say, why? Well, because we respect the Lord, and the Lord gave us enough money in the first 6 days, and then we don't have to work on the seventh. Oh, yeah. They said that. I was there. A billionaire brother asked me to help him to translate, to talk to this guy. And he said that. I respected him. Although, you know, they are religious and they don't know God's economy, but it's great. So why did this sister have to work Sunday, Lord's Day? She said, oh, I cannot come because I have to work. Because she stopped loving the Lord. She does not care for the Lord. When you see the Lord, you want to come to the meeting. So in shepherding people, so don't try to get them to come to meeting. Help them to love the Lord again. You may have to listen to the garbage they are pouring out, how they were mistreated and all that. But you have to have a good stomach before you can listen, or else you get poisoned. So it's interesting how to shepherd people.
Yeah, what if they just lost interest in you, try to talk something of the word?
Yeah, that means he's nearly like an unbeliever. Remember in Matthew 18, if you try to help a brother and he will not listen to you, listen to two or three of you, listen to the church, consider him as a heathen, right? Remember that? What does that mean, consider him as a heathen? That means you have to preach the gospel to him again. It does not mean, you know, people use that portion to excommunicate people. But that's not for excommunication, it's learning how to gain people. If you pray for him, I go to see you, you listen to me, I have gained my brother, right? If he does not listen, I bring one or two more that I've been praying with, two or three of us have been praying to see him, to gain the brother. But then, even when the church comes, the elders come and help him, and he still will not listen, what does that mean? That means he has no sense of life, of God, of Christ. So treat him as a heathen man and start preaching the gospel to him again. Not saying that he was not saved. He was saved, but he is so far away. So we have to teach him again, preach to him again. So a brother like that, you just have to start all over again. Like Paul said to Galatians, he has to labor again, right? Travail again. So that Christ may be formed in the Galatians. It's already 7 minutes before the meeting.
Yeah.
Should we leave?
Yeah.
Okay. Amen. See you in a meeting. Hallelujah. Exercise your spirit.